Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to put on your gear. We're going to need some extra gear this week as we follow the Domner family all over the map in search of their forever home and a little bit of adventure along the way. So let's see if we can tune in the radio dial and find them wherever they are in that exotic location. Come in, Domners. Are you there? Caitlin and Michael Domner.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, we're here.
At the end of the world.
Literally, the fin del mundo is the big theme down here. We're in Ushuaia, Argentina, which is the furthest south city, like actual city in the world. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Wow. All right. So forget about all this forever home stuff here. This is the adventure of a lifetime here. This is a place that nobody gets to go see. Few of us get to go see. I can't believe they have a lot of people that make it all the way to the end of the earth here. What's it feel like to be doing something? It sort of feels like, maybe this is not quite as extreme, but it sort of feels like taking a rocket ship into space. The rare few that get to do that these days. You're kind of on that trajectory here. What's that feel like?
Yeah, Ushuaia is really a beautiful place. I mean, it's a tiny, small city that is kind of nestled into these crags and just mountains that tower over us on all sides, except for where the bay is. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible. And when we were flying in, seeing the glaciers up on the tops of the mountains and seeing these little lakes and these little valleys high up in the mountains, is just incredible. Today we're actually going to be in about an hour here. We're going to be getting onto our ship to Antarctica, which is really the end of the world.
Yeah,
this Antarctica. Is kind of like the end of civilization. But Antarctica is literally the end of the world. So we're very excited about it. It's been kind of one of those things that's been pulling us forward ever since we left home, because we booked this over a year ago. This was literally the first thing that we booked when we were planning our travels here. And this is definitely not somewhere that we expect to be a potential home for us.
I don't know.
It's kind of the adventure.
So it wasn't that long ago. I'm old enough to remember, and I'm a history buff and history major. It wasn't that long ago, maybe within 100 years, that this was impossible. I mean, people died going to Antarctica. Who was it? Amundsen or whoever, the great explorer that trekked to, was it Antarctica he went to, or did he go to the North Pole? I forget which he went to. He went to one of the other.
We were reading the kids a book, and I'm forgetting his name too, but there were two of them that were racing for the South Pole.
Right.
One was English, one was Norwegian, and the Englishman died. And we were like reading this beautifully illustrated children's book to the kids and realizing like, oh, and then he decided to see the penguins and the seals and then he died.
And then he died. But don't worry, kids, that won't be us. This is a...
And that's where we're going. Yeah,
exactly. What? So,
I mean, I have a friend who, we are posting on Facebook that we're going to Antarctica. He's posting on Facebook that he's cross-country skiing to the South Pole. And I was like, really, Akshay? Like, way to steal my thunder.
Yeah, you got to go one beyond.
Take it to the next level.
It kind of reminds me the one time I went to Belize. I refer to it all the time in this show, and I thought I was just way out there. I was just on an island, and then I drove up into the jungle. That seemed exotic for me. I came back and held a party at my house, and I was showing everybody these slides like I'd been to the end of the earth. And the guy said, you think that's something? I took a raft all the way down the Amazon up into the far reaches. I thought, okay, steal my thunder. Well, nothing can steal your thunder here in my book. I don't know anybody that's ever even been close to going to Antarctica. That just seems like one of those impossible trip to the moon sorts of things. I wonder if, it's just one of those overhype things, or if it'll live up to the adventure that we all think it would be. You went to the Galapagos, which is another one of those exotic places, and you got sick. You tried to go to the blue hole in Belize, one of the most famous dive sites in the world, a world heritage site, and your kids, you know, had enough of it riding the boat out there to get to this exotic place. What do they have any sense of what this is about, or is this just another day with the family?
Yeah, I feel like they know that it's something big. Like they're like, oh, we're going on a ship. And when we broke it to them that we weren't going to have internet primarily for the 2 weeks, they definitely did not appreciate that news. But
that's what made them realize this is different. Is no Wi-Fi for 2 weeks really is the end of the world, not just the end of the earth.
The next question was, do we have electricity?
I don't know. I don't know. Might not. So what do you hope to get out of this, other than it is one of those rare chances, because you're there and you can, you're going to see something that most of us in our lifetime will never, ever, ever see here. I mean, this really is a bucket list. Many people will see the pyramids, not many people I know, but it's not that uncommon. Many people will see some of these other famous sites. Some people will even make it to the Everest. One of my friends went to Everest a couple of years ago. So it's not like I've never heard of people do that. I've never heard of anybody go to the Antarctica. None.
We only have one friend, and
we only have one friend. Well, that's why you're traveling the world. That's clear. Yeah, you're looking for friends.
So Richard and Lisa went to Antarctica, and they said, absolutely do it. I know it's expensive. I know it's a pain in the butt, right? Like, there's a lot of reasons why people don't go to Antarctica. But they were like, it was absolutely out of this world. It felt like we were on another planet. You're just surrounded by ice and nothing else. And when we started this trip, before it became the search for the forever home, it really was that, how do we expose our children to the planet Earth before things rapidly change? Yes. Like, I think within my kids' lifetime, there's going to be some pretty dramatic, I'm not going to say catastrophic, but pretty dramatic events. Climate change being, you know, the most obvious one.
Exactly.
But that they may not be able to go and see glaciers and ice. Like, my grandkids may not get these sorts of experiences.
Wow.
Not because they can't afford it, but just because the world is literally changing. And so for me, this experience really is about taking them to one of our most endangered habitats, and showing them a glimpse of what Earth has known and what it has been, and recognizing that if my grandkids get the chance to go to Antarctica, it will probably look very different than what we're going to about to see.
Yeah, it might be hot and humid by the time they get there.
I don't know how much land is underneath all of that ice, but
I don't think anybody
does.
Might
be a much smaller continent.
Yeah, I think that is a powerful point. I'm glad I hadn't thought of that. You know, part of this, you said in the very beginning, wasn't just, there was kind of two motivations, three motivations maybe, to do this. One, because you're sitting at home and you're saying, hey, if we're all in lockdown and we're teaching the kids remotely and we're working remotely, then why don't we go somewhere? We don't have to just sit on the couch through all this. And that sort of started this. And as you said, you know, well, but it's not safe out in the world. Hey, it's not safe where Michael was working. He got robbed and the story was running here. So why not? And then it was kind of that recognition, if not now, when? The kids are at that right age. You're at that right age. Everybody's ready. You're in that season of adventure, as Michael was talking about last week. So let's go. And what started off is like, let's go here and let's go here. And you start traveling country, and pretty soon you get out of the country, and pretty soon you're in this, headed south into Mexico and Central America. And pretty soon it's like, let's just keep going and see what happens. And then it was kind of like, all right, what is this going to mean for us and our family? And one of the things was what caught my attention, the search for a forever home. Maybe it'll bring you back home. Maybe there is no place like home. It'll just be Apple Valley all over again someday, with all this under your belt. Or maybe it really will open the possibility of finding that postcard, that fairy tale place where you can plant your flag and raise your family here, as we keep talking about every week. But you raised a point that I never really thought of. What does it do to our kids? Does it make them world citizens? Does it give them a broader view? It clearly will, than the down the street in my neighborhood that most of us experience when we're a kid. That was my world.
Giving our kids the Yeah, giving our kids the opportunity to think of themselves as citizens of the world, right?
Exactly.
I think that's one of the reasons why so many people get kind of pigeonholed in this is my city, this is what I care about, this is my country, these people are my color, this is my creed, my tribe,
right.
And it's because they don't get to experience a lot of the rest of the world and realize that the people in Ushuaia are just humans, they're people mm-hmm. just like us.
Yes,
exactly. They're not the bad guys or somebody who can be vilified when you can literally say no, I know those people, mm-hmm. and I think being yes. able to have that perception and that kind of clarity of vision of who we are as citizens of the world is very important to us.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Go ahead, yeah. Caitlin. Yeah.
I was just going to say, as we travel, your point was you're probably not going to end up living in Antarctica, right? Like, even if we wanted to, I think we're only allowed to for 6 months, right?
Right.
But what I'm realizing is it is part of our search for our forever home. But it's less of a search than a discovery because wow. this entire world is our home,
wow.
right? And it's teaching us to think of planet Earth as our home. And visiting Antarctica, no, we're not going to settle down, put down roots and start going to the local high school in Antarctica. But it's still home in the sense that this is our planet and it's our home planet, right? Jackson wants to be an astronaut. He's like, I'm going to be the first person to Mars. And I'm like, dude, you're probably already too young to be the first person to Mars.
Yeah.
But if you do go to Mars, you're probably not coming back, right? Yeah. Like, that's probably a one-way ticket.
Right.
And you're going to be carrying all of these memories of home,
right.
i.e. the planet Earth, with you when you go and colonize someplace new. And that was kind of a weird experience. And so from that perspective, yeah, going to Antarctica is still part of the vision of discovering home.
So two amazing things. You've just blown my mind here. So it's blown my mind that I know somebody now who's been to and going to Antarctica. That seems the ultimate fantasy, faraway, impossible trip, like going to the moon or going to Mars. But what you just raised even takes it a step further. Maybe your son will colonize another planet someday. Wow. Let that one sink in for a moment. And as he does, mm-hmm. he will take with him the memories of this trip and all of the world that he's seen, not just the little part of the world that he grew up in. That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, to think about maybe you've just reframed the whole show here. The search for your forever home isn't a place. It's every place. It's a connection mm-hmm. to a bigger community than just the block that you live on, the neighbor.
Yeah,
the
we're town. we're discovering our forever home as opposed yeah. to searching for it.
Yeah, exactly. You're discovering it. Isn't that amazing? Well, I look forward to seeing what you're going to discover in this trip. What's the agenda like? What do you do when you go? Is it a drive through? Like you go see Yosemite and you just sort of look out the window and say, oh, there's everything. Or do you get out and actually experience it? Are you just sitting in the boat looking through the glass?
Now, one of the things that I'm most excited about this, so, I mean, a lot of people think of cruise ships, like the giant 25-story boats that are right. that you can get on with 4,000 of your best friends
right.
and go for a week and, barely even get off. You can live on the boat and be, have a good time, depending on what you're looking for. But
right.
the line that we're going on is Ponant, and it's a significantly smaller boat. It's a 400-foot boat long, and it only has about 250 passengers. So
wow.
it's significantly smaller than what most people think of in a cruise ship. And there's almost daily Zodiac rides out to the different islands around us, glaciers around us, actually to the actual peninsula. So there's opportunities almost every single day. I mean, there's like 2 days crossing to get there. But then once we get over to kind of down into Antarctica, there's daily opportunities for us to go and see wildlife, go kayaking. We actually just went on a sailboat while we were in Bariloche, and the guide in the sailboat with us that we were out on the lake was telling us that he is a guide in Antarctica for these cruise lines, and he wasn't doing it this year for some reason. He had others. The cruise lines, there's only about 20% of them running this year because of COVID.
Right.
But he showed us pictures, and he was a kayaking guide, and literally pictures of him and his kayak and like giant tails of whales lifting out of the water, like right next to him. And killer whales, pods of killer whales swimming close to the kayaks, just incredible stuff. So we're really hoping to be able to take advantage at the bare minimum. All of the Zodiac trips are going to go in and we'll be able to do trekking and that kind of thing. But we're really hoping to do the kayaking as well.
And that's your background. You like going off road. Even before you did this, you were an outdoors person. You went and as I gather, I don't know you that didn't know you that well, or don't know your past that well, but you hinted that this is what you kind of went out and did, backpacking and went out to the wilderness before anyway. So this is right up your alley. I wonder and worry, because I'm an old grandpa, can you take kids in a kayak? Don't they fall off? Don't the whales eat them?
That's how you get the whales to come closer.
You dangle a kid. Come over here. Yeah. Quick, take a picture before I pull you back in.
No, we've done kayaking, as long as they're double kayaks. So we've done kayaking numerous times where Caitlin takes a kid, I take a kid, and then usually a guide will take the third one. we've done it in like the caves systems in Belize. We've done it up in California where we live. So kayaking, there's an added element of if you fall in the water, you're going to be frozen in like 10 seconds flat. I think there's a possibility of taking the kids. We may go without the kids if they decide they don't want to or something like that. But either way, we're going to find a way to make it happen.
And do you have to have special gear or training, or do they somehow, if I'm on the beach, if I'm on the Disney cruise line, I don't have to think of anything. It's like a moving house and it's easy to move around. Do I have to have any sort of preparation or training? I'm thinking like, do you have to have big parkas and gear and face masks?
They actually provide big parkas and kind of mud boots for the excursions out when we go on land. And then also we just rented here in Ushuaia kind of full snowsuits for the kids. Literally head to toe, like, an inch thick snowsuits. So they're going to be toasty, even if it's below freezing.
And they're going to find that
wild. There's a lot to take.
Well, that's the way I grew up. I grew up in the upper Midwest, and the snows in those days would get so severe. We all had these giant moon suits. They literally looked like you were on the moon when you would go out in some of these, particularly if you wanted to go snowmobiling or way out into the wilderness somewhere. Well, all of that just sounds exotic. What do you think, Mom? Are you excited to take your kids to Antarctica? Are you concerned? Most moms would say, I'm not taking them there.
I think we've already ascertained I do not fall into the cautious mother.
No. Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, do you guys think you can walk across that log across the river?
Sure. You can do this. Come on.
I dare you.
Oh, wow. You're not the polar bear. What is it? The protective polar panda mom. I don't know. They have names for all these, super protective bear like moms that,
No, definitely not the helicopter mom for sure. I think I'm excited. Like I said, the kids love wildlife. We love studying that. So I'm really excited to see that up close. Bradley, he was like, I'm so excited about Antarctica. I'm like, really? Why are you excited about Antarctica? He's like, because I get to pet the penguins because there's no laws in Antarctica. And I looked at him like,
no laws? It's lawless. We can do anything. Come on over here and pet a penguin, kid. Here, Can't do that in America. No.
So I don't know if my kids have the right expectations of what they're going to see in America, but they are excited to see penguins.
For the wrong reasons. All right. They think they're rebel without a cause here. All right. Well, I just wonder, are you going to do anything else? They must give lectures on the boat and other sorts of things.
Every day they've got lectures about wildlife, about causes that would be important to travelers down there. And so they have kind of live lecture halls on the boat that you can go and listen to in French and English are kind of the two primary languages on the boat. So and then they also pipe it in. So if you want to watch it from your room nowadays with COVID,
yeah,
you can watch it from your lectures with your from your room too. You tune in.
And imagine the people that will do that. So I went all the way to the end of the earth. I paid all this money to get in this boat and I sat in my room and watched it on TV.
I believe that there are people that will do that. Yep.
I could do that from here.
Exactly. Yeah, the part I'm most excited about is just the chance to meet friends. Like, we've got a captive audience and most of them speak English. Like, yeah. we're bound to find somebody we can have a conversation with. Like, yeah. So who knows? I think there's just going to be some really interesting people on the boat. I will say, I think I have this like conception in my head that they're all going to be like snooty rich people.
Yeah.
So there's like a part of me that's like, are we going to fit in? Because we've pulled this off, but it's not because we come from old money and our family has lots of this. And like, I'm like, I don't know how many other kids are going to be on the boat.
I'm really curious. I would guess that the average age on the boat is probably 40, 45, 50 plus. Yeah, so it'll be
older than that, I bet. Yeah, it's probably 50s and 60s and stuff here, because it's something you save a lifetime for. You've accomplished a certain something. You sold your business, you retired, now you're gonna blow it in one big splurge here or something.
So I realize I have some maybe prejudices against
sounds like it
go on these kinds of fancy excursions. So we'll see. I'm excited to be wrong about that, though.
Are there the typical cruise ship things? Are there black tie nights and caviar, champagne caviar adventures here? I would think some of that must exist, because you are probably this isn't something the average person probably can afford or will try. So I'm sure it is. It's designed to feel like a once in a lifetime meal, adventure, trip, you know.
Yeah, it was funny because I got an email saying from Ponant, the cruise line, and they are kind of a luxury cruise line. So they were talking about like the captain's party and then the white party and then the tuxedo party and all these things. And I was like, holy cow, like we're going to have to buy a whole new wardrobe just to go on this.
Yeah.
But I talked to our the lady who was helping us book all of the stuff with Ponant. And she said, oh, no, this is a an adventure. What did they call excursion. It? Excursion, kind of a
expedition.
Cruise, not a luxury cruise. So they don't have the same meal required. You don't have to wear a jacket to get into the meal room and stuff like that. So.
Right. Okay. All right. Because I don't know if you packed your tuxedo or your all white outfit in your backpack there as you're traveling around the world here. All right. Well, this is one for the record books. And this is sort of complete that journey south where you started across the border, which many of us have done, and then most of us quit, you know, somewhere along the way. Maybe we make it into Mexico. Maybe, like me, I made it to the next country, Belize, and that's about as far as most of us go. Few go to Costa Rica and a few other places. Very few make it down to Ecuador and those things. A 1 in 100 make it to Argentina and Brazil and those places. They all quit somewhere along the way before they go to Antarctica. So you've broken through the barrier.
We started off and we went as far south as we possibly could. So now we got to go back and go a different direction. I don't know.
They should have
this is where we start making the U-turn.
Yeah, they should have a trip where you keep going. And now you start to come up the other side of the globe. I don't know where that is. I'll have to look and see where
Australia,
you come up.
Yeah.
It's like when your mom used to tell you, like, stop digging in the yard. You'll get all the way to China. Yes. We're just like, head across Antarctica and start back the other side.
You are right there. If you started digging far enough, you'd come up back on the North Pole. Yeah, you'd go right through the whole planet here. Well, I think this is now what most of us think of travel. It is exotic, and yet it is safe. Because they've got guides, they got boats, they've got safety, they've got doctors on board. I mean, you're not really out in the middle of the jungle back parking on your own here or something. You're not really climbing Everest, but it is feels like that. It's one of those kinds of moonshot trips that most of us will never make. I'll never make it there. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a chance for us to ride along in a really, really exotic place and to see how you react. You've already given me some reactions I didn't think of. Oh, okay, we're a little not sure about this rich crowd that we're going to run with here, you know, and not that we can't afford to be here, but we don't know. That's not usually our snooty, snobby champagne and caviar crowd here. So maybe that'll be different. Maybe the adventure will be as branded and be exciting, or maybe it'll just feel like a giant jungle cruise through Disneyland. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out.
All right. Well, we are excited to ride along. Take us out, Caitlin. You're always good. I think you've given us some philosophical pointers already. Maybe this isn't a search for one place. It's a search for a connection to the whole world. And certainly you're connecting to a part of the world that most of us never get a chance to see.
I think that's it, is just recognizing that we are all connected, that the water that made Antarctica and those polar caps is the water that flows in our veins. Like, it's just, it's a circular system. And so we can't take any part of it for granted. I don't know how you could spend time near the oceans or near the polar regions and not start becoming a bit of an environmentalist and recognizing, like, guys, we have to start protecting this because this is our future. Like, this is, we've had a growth spurt as a species, and now we need to start growing up and taking responsibility instead of taking it for granted.
Wow, I love that. Time to grow up as they head off on the giant kid-like adventure we call a trip to Antarctica here. All right, all that more. So we're not going to see you next week. There is no Wi-Fi on the boat. I assume they'd have a satellite Wi-Fi, but no, this is really off the grid.
We have no idea.
We actually do have Wi-Fi while we're out there. We don't know the quality of it. So I thought, I think tentatively, if you're up for it, we will meet. We'll just we'll kind of play it by ear. We literally won't know until 3 hours from now when we get on the boat and see how it is.
Yeah. All right. And you're out there for what, 2 weeks? And the following week. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not just 2 days. Most of these cruises, this isn't a 3-day cruise down to Cabo or something there and back.
Nope.
You're going to be there for a while. Well, I'm curious. I hope that you'll find somebody. I think you already have a couple lined up. I'd love to talk to some people who do this for a life. This is their life. They work on these boats. They give these tours. They are the guides for the kayaks. Are they people who just grew up there and it's no big deal? This is what they've known their whole life. Or is it somebody who came there and never left, like you guys might do someplace? You might be one of these guides somewhere in some exotic place. How did you get here? Well, we're on this trip and we just decided this is it. And the last place we ever thought we'd be is here. But here's where we stay. And your kids and grandkids stay there for eternity. There are people like that who find these places. And that is, that's what I've been looking for my whole life. This is it. This is where I'm going to stay. I don't think it's you guys, but we'll find out. You may call in and say, Paul, this is it. Call off the show. We found it. And we'll check in periodically and come down and see us in Antarctica sometime here.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. We'll see. Keep riding along with us, folks. This is where the journey gets really interesting. As they go off the edge into the unknown. And we get to follow along. The All Over the Map family, right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from the University of California Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center. Certainly the most innovative show on our network.